This conference is being recorded.
Hi, welcome to our Live Richly calls. This is Leslie Cunningham, and today is Tuesday, December 19th, and it's 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And we have these calls the first three Tuesdays of each month at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And the focus of these calls is to help empower everyone with and give you guys the tools to create what I call holistic financial success in your life. And I really like the holistic aspect, thinking of finances in more of a holistic sense instead of just how can we make more money. It's much broader than that. So on these calls, we learn how to take external and internal action towards building wealth in the world. And I've noticed when I've worked with different people, different clients in my practice, if they're struggling with money or if they're arguing with their partners or if we find that we don't have enough money coming in, our life is not in balance and the money stress gets in the way of living more fully. So the benefit of participating in these calls is that we start living our lives in this whole new way. And on these calls, we create what I call true wealth in our life, not just in terms of our pocketbooks, but especially in our relationships, our personal time, our lifestyle, the value, our own personal values that we have, and the things that matter most to us. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is that the things that really matter most to us. So as far as an overview, the topic for this call is creating the lifestyle you desire in your business or career. So what I want to cover today is this idea of, I'll talk a little bit about primary aim, mission, purpose. We've heard different terms for this, and I'll explain what that is. We'll talk about that, and then I'm also going to talk about this concept that many of us are familiar with, but we don't integrate, and it's the idea of living our values. And the third piece that I want to talk about is kind of the synergy of what happens when we start living our life in this way, integrating our purpose and our values. So that's putting it very simply. It's a lot more than that. So that's what we'll be covering. Now, just as a way of introduction, I mentioned in this email that I sent out that a lot of times there's that saying that your business or your career is not your life. And often we have this feeling, that we have to work longer and harder in order to create success in our business or in our careers. Are you guys, have most of you read The E-Myth by Michael Gerber?
I have. Yeah.
You've read it, Jeff? The E-Myth, have you read that?
I don't think so. I've read some things by Michael Gerber, but I don't think I've read that one.
Okay. What have you read that one, Heather?
I have, absolutely.
Okay, great. It is such a fantastic book, and so I just want to kind of highlight some of these things that Michael mentions. But what I really want to get at is not so much sharing a ton of information today. And there's several, things that I will be sharing, but I really want to have this conversation about how we can integrate these things into our life. So I just want to set that intention for having this be very interactive, and please feel comfortable being honest, because that is how we can integrate these changes. So Michael Gerber has written a book called The E-Myth. And what it stands for is the myth of the entrepreneur. And so we have this idea, and the myth of the entrepreneur being that we have this idea of once we become entrepreneurs, and if you're not an entrepreneur or if you're not self-employed, when I share some of these concepts, apply it to your own business and to your own career, because the same concepts apply. So there's this myth that as an entrepreneur in our businesses and careers that we can, that the entrepreneur is out there saving the world and they are in control and they have created this business that is very successful and that they are strong and that they have this money coming in and that everything is in control. And what tends to happen, it's very common for, of course, self-employed professionals and even in our careers, that we end up feeling overwhelmed and consumed, and our businesses and careers don't end up supporting the lifestyle that we want and that we desire. And in his book, he introduces a couple of some imagery that I really like. And I'd be surprised if you guys haven't heard of this, because it's pretty common. Stephen Covey talks about this imagery too. But I'm gonna lead you through it. And like I said, the idea is to really hear what you guys have to say about this, your thoughts. So if you want to, just close your eyes for a minute. And I want you to imagine that you're in a room and there's soft lighting, and this room is filled with people that you know. And in this room is actually, what has happened is that you've actually died, and these are people that are gathered together to celebrate your life and your existence and what you brought to them. So just think of the specific people, your friends, see their faces, your good friends that you've known throughout the years, and really, really connect, see their faces. And now, after a moment of silence, there's more interaction in this group of people, and they're talking to each other, and they're sharing with each other stories about you and about your life and what you brought to them. Hear their conversations, what they're saying. Now, I want to give you two different images here. The first one, when you're thinking of these conversations, I want you to think about what they're saying about you as you are living your life right now, how you've been in your relationships, and how you've lived your life to this point in time, December 19th, 2006. What are they saying about you and what you've given to people? This might be a gut feeling. You might just have a sense. You might not hear the actual conversations, but kind of take that in. Now, the second imagery that I want to give you, or image, is to hear these people think about how you would like, what you would like these people to say. If you were to live your life in the way that you really want to live your life, and in your ideal sense, as far as what matters to you, pretend whether you're doing that or not at this point in time doesn't matter. Pretend that you are. Think about the things that you value in your life and imagine that you have lived your life in this way. Now imagine the conversations that you hear people having about you. What's the look on their faces? What's the feeling that you sense from people? What's the emotions? And how have you affected them? So just take a couple of breaths and take that in and feel that feeling inside your body. How does that feel? Okay, if you haven't opened your eyes already, go ahead and open your eyes. And I'd like to invite you to just share some of the images or thoughts that came up between these two different visualizations.
Well, I have one.
I can okay.
Share. Are we sharing out loud now?
Yeah, please
okay.
do.
Sort of the current version is we really enjoyed her, we really liked her, but we could never see her because she was always busy
mm-hmm.
and unavailable, basically. The second version is she threw great parties. We really enjoyed hanging out with her. We got to spend lots of time and we traveled together.
Oh.
That would be
wow.
Different.
Me too.
Yeah. Eleanor, the big difference obviously between the two is the availability, right?
Yeah.
And showing up. And
yes.
were these
yeah.
and these people, were they more relatives or were they friends?
No, they're friends and
yeah.
different people I know. Yeah. It's gotten better. Actually, it's an area of improvement.
Yeah, and all these things are, you know. So what that says...
Oh,
no, go ahead.
No, I don't want to interrupt.
Well, so what that says to me, Eleanor, is that you value showing up and being available in your relationships, so that is something that's very important to you.
Yes, it's true.
Yeah. Great, thank you. Thanks for taking the courage to be the first to share. Who else would like to share?
Well, I mean, I'll just because we're in the same theme. Mine was, she was a hard worker, hard worker. Oh, we admire her for her hard work.
Uh-huh.
And then the second one was, wow, she was so funny. she was so funny and lighthearted and great to be around, very much like what Eleanor said. Yeah, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the first
yeah.
one, when they were talking about you being a hard worker,
mm-hmm.
this idea, these conversations about you being funny, that wasn't part of the conversation.
Oh gosh,
that you
no.
heard people say.
No, because I'm working too hard to be funny. Mm-hmm. Very serious business, this life business. It's all serious. It's a serious, serious process of serious things that all require serious attention, and they're all hard work, serious attention things. Yeah, mm-hmm. And that was everybody, my family, my friends, all the people that were there. That was what they all just shook their heads and acknowledged my hard work, my dedication to workness. Yeah.
And with being funny and lighthearted, did that also come with, I'm imagining, not working as hard?
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, okay, great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So find keep that
time
in
mind to be to just yeah, that it's not all so serious. It's just not so serious. It's
yeah.
All not so serious. Like I think about my like I when you first asked us things, I thought you know, I'm thinking of friends and, like, how many of my friends do I burden with my stories about how hard it all is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, gosh, that's not very much fun, you know,
mm-hmm.
for them, for me, for our relationship. Lighten up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the specifics of that lightening up is the stories that you share with people, and the working less. That kind
mm-hmm.
of that came to your mind as far as contributing to your ability to lighten up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the funny, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Being
mm-hmm.
funny and laughter. Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
For me, my stories were similar before and after with the changes.
Okay.
But, like, I think it was Portico that said, you know, that, you know, my story, I connect with a lot of people. So they were both talking, in both cases, they were talking about our connection and keeping in touch.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm really good with that. So there would be lots of people at my at my occasion talking nicely. But in the second version, it would be a lot easier. They wouldn't be forcing it, because I feel like now in my current situation, I'm inside my own head too much. So I'd say my conversations are leaning towards my story
mm-hmm.
when I sure would like it to be more about them.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Just in general,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'd like to have my story not be such a big part, you know, of the interaction, and I'd like their story. So while I do think I take the time, I don't think I bury myself in work so much that I've alienated anyone or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do just think the tone and the conversations are kind of Jeff-centric.
Mm-hmm.
And so in both cases, I think, you know, I think they still like me, but I think they don't realize the subtlety would be, you know, if I was more giving that, the conversation, you know, the comments would just be more sincere and come easily to them.
Right.
And I'd believe them more.
mm-hmm.
And the difference being, so they're still... But the obvious difference is your focus would be more on the other person as opposed to yourself. Is that correct?
Yeah, and since I feel like I can help people, I'm a good listener, and I really do have ways of connecting with them, and I think they could be happier if I took the time to do that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I want it not to be like Jeff was such a happy guy, but more be like, I'm better because I knew him. That would be more that would be more ideal for me.
And the sense I get is how you made them feel versus maybe how they made you feel.
Right.
Is that okay?
Exactly. So I want it to be balanced, that's all.
Okay.
Kind of like Portico was saying, you know, they had to hear my story about how hard it is, and, you know, I don't think it's so much a negative story as just my story instead of theirs.
Yeah, yeah.
For me.
Great. Thank you. Would anyone else like to share? So for those of you that just joined, welcome to our Live Richly call. And what we're doing is we're focusing on talking about creating the lifestyle you desire in your business or your career. And I led people through a visualization as far as their funeral or their death and thinking about what people would say currently about them, about you as an individual during your funeral. And then the second visualization is, if you lived your life in the ideal way that you want to live it, what would pretending that you have done that, what would people say at your funeral or an occasion honoring the life that you lived? And people were just sharing their stories about that. what the difference between those two visualizations were. So, like I said, as we continue, think about, keep in mind these things that you guys mentioned and the importance of them. So, you know, this is, when you think about these are the things, one thing that really matters to you. And Michael Gerber talks about this idea of having this primary aim in your life and about, you know, the people that are successful, he says, have a clear picture of how they wish their life was. They know, like what you guys have shared with me is, okay, this is how I wish to be in my life. I want to be more available. I'd like to my friends. I'd like to lighten up. I'd like to, you know, share more positive stories, maybe not burden people so much. I'd like to be funny. And I'd like to focus more on other people as opposed to myself. So what you guys have shared to me are the things that are important to you and how you wish, how you'd like to live your life. And there's this idea that people that are successful have created a vision. There's not this idea. It's actually true. Like people have been interviewed as far as what are the qualities that have contributed to their success. And one of the main qualities that we're all familiar with is having a vision. People that are successful have a vision of their lives. But here's the difference between people that are successful and people that aren't as successful. It's kind of a dramatic way to present it, but let me present it in the way of people that are living their lives the way they want versus people that aren't. And none of us are perfect, right? There's always areas that we can improve. But people that are living their lives in the way that they want are living out the vision that they have of their future. So these are the visions that you guys shared about your future, right? They're living out their ideal vision of their future in the present moment. So that's the difference. It doesn't, they hold this picture clearly with them as they, on a day-to-day basis. And they focus on how can I make that my reality. And they can, so they hold that vision. Their vision for the future today. The second thing that they do is that they look at, they compare with what they've done with what they've intended to do. So at the end of the day, how do we often measure the success of our day? Just throw some things out there. What are some of the things that make you feel like you've had a successful day? In general, like when you measure your days. You lay down in bed at night and you're like, oh, that was a good day.
If I did what I said I would do.
Okay. So the actions?
Yeah, that
doing,
I said it
yeah.
And I achieved it.
Okay.
Yeah, see, I have hundreds of those days, but I don't consider them successful anymore.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you have
I'm
the days
really
where
I'm really getting my list done. I have lists coming out of my ears, in my ears, in my forehead. I wear them everywhere, and great, I get them done. But for me, obviously I'm finishing the wrong list because it's
mm-hmm.
No longer very satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't had a successful day in a long time. I've gotten a lot done, but I haven't had a successful day.
Right.
I think I measure it. Oh, go ahead. I think I measure
and
it.
And that idea Oh, sorry, Eleanor. Just to add to what you were saying, Portico, that idea of getting, so you still get a lot done, it sounds like,
oh,
but
yeah.
It's not internally satisfying for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I was going to echo, I've had that too, that sensation. So where I look for is balance. It's like if I have managed to, which I don't do naturally, because I always give up what's really good for me, because I'm busy. I'm busy. So, you know, I have
mm-hmm.
these places to be. So I give up exercise. I give up being outdoors. I give up space. I give up friendship, you know, to get
mm-hmm.
this list done. So my successful day now is, did I have those things in my day?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
great.
That I varied my day, that I could pause, that I could let go of my urgency, you know, and actually go tear myself away and go outside for 15 minutes and go look at the creek running by.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are successes.
So that's what really feels to be successful. And did I hear you say that the reality of it tends to be that you're very busy with things?
Right, that I'm always
with
on this achievement of the list and the set of activities.
Yeah. So here's what people in the financial, well, not people, coaches, financial counselors, and financial planners, you'll find this with some of them. Here's what they say. That they can look at your spending. This is going to tie in with what you guys are sharing. They can look at what you're spending your money on in a given month, in a given year. And your money, how you've spent your money, is going to reflect what?
Values.
Exactly. How you spend your money reflects your values. So you can take that same concept and apply it to your time. How you spend your time reflects your values. Now, we all know that we have these things that we value, like Eleanor mentioned, exercise, getting outdoors, being with people that we love, that we do value these things. It doesn't mean that we don't value them. But what it does mean is that we're not actively expressing those values.
Which means we're not living in integrity.
Right.
Yeah.
Which makes ourselves beat ourselves up about it.
Right. Right, we're not living in kind of true integrity, and we're also, when we live our values and this primary aim, the way that we want to live our life, what does that do for us? How does that make us feel?
When we are doing it?
Yeah, when we are doing it.
Aligned.
Yeah.
Happy.
Yeah.
Mhm. Mhm.
And energized.
Definitely.
Right. And that's a big thing that we forget. It's like we don't think that we have time, and yet by living our life in the way that really matters to us, it resonates with this, and we end up living, we have more energy, and that in turn gives us more energy and more creativity for our careers to really show up and for our businesses to really build our businesses effectively. Have you guys ever had a conversation with some, here, let me just share the story with you. I don't know, it was a while back, but I was meeting, I had a meeting with somebody, and this person was talking to me, and this person was telling me, it was a meeting to it was like a business meeting, and they had some, they were trying to see if I would be interested in buying something. So when I was talking to this person, I noticed that, you know, the way this person was presenting herself was not coming from a place of, you know, fullness and energy. And it was noticeable. And I also thought, well, why would I be motivated to buy something when this is how this person is presenting themselves? And we all know when we are feeling connected and, well, energized, taking care of ourselves, that we show up differently in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people notice that. Whether it is spoken or not, we all pick up on it. I mean, can't you guys think of, like, your interactions, like at the grocery store? Don't you just notice those people that, well, this kind of takes it into a different area as far as whether they're resonating with their work, but that applies to, you know, a career. Having a meaningful career is a high value for many people. But can't you tell, can't you tell if somebody hates their job?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So apply this concept when we're talking about the things that you value. Think about it in this other area just to get the metaphor of we spend money on the things that we value, and we spend our time on the things that we value. So when you say that you value these things, as a coach, I would ask you, you know, yes, you may really value them, but are you actively valuing them? Are you spending your time on these things? Are you spending your money on these things? Mm-hmm. Not that these things have to cost money. And then to think about how, when you live life in this way, how it makes you feel. And that's the magical part, is the feeling. Because that can transform and affect our relationships and ultimately our income. It gives us the energy available to take financial action in our life.
Can you say the whole thing through again?
Say it again?
No, not with all the detail, just in the sense of the steps that it is.
Sure. So as far as to break it down into the steps, to some steps, and I'm going to give you a few more to take this a little bit deeper.
Okay.
So you've identified this, let's call it your number one thing. Let's say it's the most immediate thing that came to your mind that matters to you in your life, because this is how you want people to remember you. So you've identified one thing in this example. Now take that one, okay, let's just use Jeff's example, connecting relationships. So Jeff has identified he wants to have connecting relationships that's more focused on him getting it, focusing on his friends as opposed to his friends focusing on him. He values that. Then I would ask, so the second step is, first step, recognize what you value. Second step, ask yourself, are you actively valuing this? Meaning, are you living this value? Are you investing in this value? And by investment, are you investing your time? Are you, Jeff, taking the time to focus on others? Are you doing that? And then if we were to apply this to in a financial sense, are you investing your money? It's just an interesting concept to keep in mind. Not that my point in sharing this is to help you guys get the analogy of, we all get it that we spend money on the things we value. So think about that as a metaphor for how you're spending your time.
No, and, you know, and I can easily connect it, just as an example, is like my cell phone, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like when I get a bill, and like, for example, on my own cell phone, well, my wife shares it, but she hardly uses it, I've gone up to 1,400 minutes. Because You know, 1,000 wasn't enough, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I do like to talk to my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the ways I do it. And so I have to say, do I want to connect with my friends less and it will cost less, or am I willing to invest in this? And I've chosen that that is an investment that's important to me.
Absolutely. And when you, you know, when I sit down and look at people's spending, how they've spent their money, they call it kind of their cash flow for the month. Where did the money leave and how much money came in? And if they're wanting to prioritize their savings or retirement, then we look at, okay, we'll chunk it down, maybe 10 categories. Let's just keep it very broad. And I'll look at where they spent their money, and then I'll ask them, is this something that you really valued? So here's a total aside that you guys can take away from this, is when you look at your bank statements, or if you're using any kind of financial software, or look at your checkbook, and ask yourself at the end of the month, just glance back through it, and maybe put a plus around, maybe put a check mark with right beside the things that that you spent money on that match your values. That was great. I did good. I'll give myself a check mark. And then on the things that didn't match your values, maybe you need to improve, you know, and put, you know, like a plus sign to do better with that. Or, you know, maybe that's not a good sign. But the you know, maybe even just highlight it with a highlighter. You know what? That didn't match my values. I went and ate. I love to tease my husband about this. he'll tell me that he values health, and yet he does value health. Yes, this is true. But he's not actively valuing his health or expressing that value when we look at our bank statements and we see that he's eaten out at a lot of fast food restaurants. So I look at that and I say, well, you're saying you value it, but are you actively valuing it? So you can do that, just kind of a fun financial thing that you can do so that you become aware of, is your spending matching your values? But in terms of today's conversation, I want you to think about, is your time, the way that you're spending your time, matching your values? So there's this idea as far as for people that really are successful at integrating their vision, that when they see this disparity that we're talking about today, that you guys have all, that some of you have shared with me, when you see this disparity, not to get discouraged, but to notice, okay, this is where I'm at, and this is where I want to be. So the difference is, when you see this disparity, is don't wait too long to make up the difference. Yeah. Ask yourself how you can start living that vision. And here's what I've noticed with people. We have this tendency, and it is human nature, but we have this tendency to think about ideally how we want our life to be or how we want our lifestyle to be, but we don't actively make those changes because we assume that it's going to take a lot of work. And the reason I said in this email that I sent out that this is a perfect time of year to think about this concept is because for many of us, we're starting, obviously, to think about New Year's resolutions. I don't do New Year's resolutions, but I do create my, since I'm self-employed, I do focus on my business plan and the type of income that I want to make. So when you're thinking, it's so easy for us to think about money, right? Oh, we want to reduce our credit card debt. We want to increase our retirement savings. We want to increase our income. And we look at 2007 now, and we say, this is what I want to be different. It's so easy to think about it in terms of money. But what I would like to inspire you guys to do and encourage you to do is to think about your values and your lifestyle as you enter in 2007. If you write a business plan, integrate this into your business plan. If you don't, you know, think about this as far as your goals for 2007. Because the purpose of our careers and our businesses truly is to support the lifestyle that we desire, not the other way around. So how do you do this? Have you guys, are most of you familiar with David Bach's books? He wrote a book, many books, the Finish Rich series, The Automatic Millionaire. Have some, okay, many people have heard of this. He has this exercise in his books that it's called values-based, I don't know what the actual term is that he used, but values-based goals in financial planning. So I'm going to integrate a little bit of this process that he uses in many of his books. So just to bring this concept home, make it a little more meaningful for you and specific. Right now, I don't know if you guys have a piece of paper and a pencil handy. Grab it, and I'm going to give you a small exercise to do. Think of values as David Bach describes. He has this, I wrote this down because it's a great quote. David Bach in his book says, a rich life isn't defined by bank balances alone. It comes from focusing on what matters to you. What do you really care deeply about? What do you care deeply about? And it's not, a hint here is to not think about a specific goal, but this is more of a value. And my definition of a value are the things that drive and inspire us. Our values have more to do with how we are in the world. It has to do with being. And a lot of people end up living their lives based on what they have. They focus on what I want. There's this idea of being, doing, and having. And a lot of people end up spending their money backwards. They focus on what they want to acquire. Maybe it's a car, maybe it's a house. Instead of, and then they acquire these things and they end up realizing that they feel empty inside. So this idea being, focusing on your values, you end up spending your money and acquiring things that match your values. So real quickly then, to build your finances around what matters to you and to build your life around what matters to you. So right now, think of at least five things that are really important to you.
Material things?
So, yeah, thanks for asking. So things being the values, not a material thing. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your relationships. It's the things that drive and inspire you, these values.
Leslie?
Yes.
This is Eleanor. I have to go.
Oh, okay. Thank you. And I'll send out a link to the recording, too.
Oh, good. And good.
Yeah.
Great to be with everyone.
Thanks for being here.
I'm busy. I have a schedule.
Oh, no worries.
Yeah, I'll be back.
Okay.
All right.
I'm resisting doing the same thing. I'm going to hang on till 1 and then, boop, gone.
That's all right. We're going to end right on the hour. Thanks.
Hello?
Yeah. So do you guys... Yeah, I'm still here. So write out, I'm just giving you guys to number, maybe 1 through 5, you don't need to spend a whole lot of time. In fact, I think for now, the quicker you can come up with these answers, the better. What are the things that you value? Like Eleanor mentioned, being available. So her relationships she values. To use the analogy of what you had said, Portico, you mentioned about kind of this way that you wanted to be, this attitude. And whatever that is, whatever your own terminology is.
Attitude of mirth, I've just written down.
Okay, great.
I got connection, vitality, enthusiasm, leadership, and thoughtfulness.
Great.
But that was very fast, so I'm not sure.
Okay, that's fine. And for me, I have things like relationships with family, my partner, my health, my spirituality, my career. I also have this other value as far as being spontaneous and fun and creativity. All right. So these values that you guys listed, I'll just share one or two more minutes of this and then give you guys a chance to share real briefly before we finish up the call. The idea, now I'm not just trying to come up with a fun exercise to take up an hour of our time. What the idea behind this, like I said, is to take these things that you value, and when you think about 2007, think about how you can start living this, integrating this into your life. We spend a lot of time making money, and yet it's so easy not to invest our time in living our life the way that we want. So through identifying the things that matter to you, you've done this. You can take this a little deeper on your, you know, during your own time when you have the time and reflect or journal about this. But find five values that your life would not feel, it would feel incomplete if you didn't integrate these values. And think about how you can start integrating this. No different than writing a business plan, we have these lofty ideas and these wonderful, inspiring ideas of the income that we want to make. And it's no different than that. You think about how you want to live your life, and yet we don't get frustrated we do get frustrated at times, but we know that it's possible to make the income that we want. The same thing, it goes hand in hand with living our life in the way that we want and our lifestyle. So this doesn't stop us from creating a business plan, right? Even though we look at it and we see our income goals and we're like, how am I going to do that? The same thing with these lifestyles, your lifestyle, how you want to live your life and your values. Start thinking about a clear vision of what that is and how you can start living that on a day-to-day basis. And then to just kind of tie this in with what I shared earlier, keep in mind that great people and successful people have a vision of their lives that they practice living every day. They spend their lives living out the vision they have of their future in the present. Who would like to share about maybe some of the insights or what they're taking away from this call?
I could just say very quickly that, you know, we talked about on a separate call that this is very timely for me because I am writing my business plan for my new business literally when I hang up the phone. And I've already started a rough draft, but I am going to absolutely use these five, if I don't, you know, hone them a little bit, but these five as I'm going to have them written down and be looking at them and thinking about them and integrate them into the plan.
Great. Oh, that's wonderful to hear. That's exciting. Who else? I heard somebody else's voice.
Leslie, this is Heather.
Yeah.
So what I really, this is just a fabulous call. And what I really like is I think it brings a whole new depth to the idea of fake it until you make it. But it actually just brings it down to the tangible parts of each of us that we truly value. And because we truly value them, we actually are able to create that in our present daily life. And then it's just a matter of expanding on it and allowing it to, you know, grow into the new form of the vision that we have. But if we're truly in integrity, what we want for ourselves is really no different than what we have right now. It's just in a different form, if that makes sense.
Heather, that is so beautifully said. Thank you. Thank you so much. I think
thank
you just recapped everything beautifully. So to know that this is our essence, and therefore it's a lot of not to be discouraged, but that we have it now and it's possible.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for sharing and your insights. It really is it's an honor to be a part of this and to feel the connection with everyone. And so we have these calls the first three Tuesdays of each month. And so this is our last call for December. And in January, I'll be off the first week of January. So we'll have our next Live Richly call the second week of January. And I'll send an email out to everyone. Happy holidays.
Thank you
Happy
so much.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.